Welcome to Marvel's Voices. I'm your host, Angelique Rocher. Today, I am talking to the incredibly talented Chasten Harmon, star of the fiction podcast Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow. Chasten plays a brand new character in the Marvel Universe, Lisa Cartwright. Lisa is a security analyst at the Onar, this massive apartment complex operated by S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Wastelands version of New York City. While spying on the residents of the Onar, Lisa discovers that one of its residents, Helen Black, might not be just an average resident. I had a great time talking to Chasten about working with this amazing cast and crew, including Susan Sarandon, director Timothy Busfield, and writer Alex Delisle, and bringing this first-time character to life. But first, I want to play the trailer for you to give you a little taste of this podcast before my conversation with Chasten.
Good morning, Helen Black. Welcome to your new apartment on the ninth floor of the Onar, New York City's premier urban biosphere, brought to you by S.H.I.E.L.D.
And of all the places you could have hung your hat, you picked the Onar. Why?
Let's just say, problems with my ex.
Right now. 30 years into the future, New York is a surveillance state.
Good afternoon, Lisa Cartwright. Welcome to your observation instrument. Keeping the communities we monitor safe is our utmost priority. If you hear something, report something.
But do they know we're listening?
Lisa, what they do know is that here at the Onar, they're safe. No need to breed paranoia.
A fallen Avenger returns.
I did hear this one older woman who sounded shady. Dishonest, at least.
What's this woman's name?
Helen Black. But wait, a lot of aliases.
Multiple aliases? Current one is Black? Ties to S.H.I.E.L.D.? The Black Widow! You've never heard those theories? About them still being alive, Wolverine, the Hawkeyes?
To settle a score.
Stanley Petronella. I live up here on the 121st floor.
Oh, Stanley, that's pretty high up.
Well, I know some very important people, but who I'd really like to know, Helen, is you.
Oh.
No lies with me. No deception. What you see is exactly what you get.
I'll think about it.
And if she's here, hiding in the Onar, and you track her down, you, Lisa, would be a hero. Oh, man, she must have gotten into some real trouble in the streets.
So here's the deal, non-negotiable. I need a man on the inside, someone to keep me one step ahead. You're my man now. If you have any doubts, look me up.
I'm the Black Widow.
Marvel Entertainment and SiriusXM presents Marvel's Wastelanders, Black Widow, starring Susan Sarandon. With performances by Michael Imperioli, Nate Cordry, Chasten Harmon, Melissa Gilbert, Justin Kirk, Eva Amuri, and Morgan Fairchild. Explore an apocalyptic alternate future of the Marvel Universe. The third series in a thrilling new multi-part audio epic premieres Tuesday, January 11th on the SiriusXM app and desktop player, plus everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/Wastelanders.
All right, now that you're a little bit more familiar with the world of the Onar, let's jump into my conversation with Chasten. I'm really excited to talk to you. First off, welcome to the Marvel Universe.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
How's it feel?
Good. I'm a huge fan of the Marvel Universe, so it was kind of a no-brainer when they sent me this script. I just like literally wrote back love in all capital letters. My reps were like, we get it. We'll say yes.
Now, okay, you get the script, you write back you love. How does it feel like being part of this? Like being part of this scripted podcast Marvel family?
It's amazing. It's one of those things that you know, when you're an actor in the industry, like most of the work coming through is for TV because a lot of TV is happening. And so you rarely get a role that comes through that is like juicy through and through. And especially for me, like when I graduated from school, everyone was like, what kind of work do you want to do? I was like, I want to be like riding a horse across the field. Like I want the action. I want the adventure. Like if I have to stand on an X in a studio in a room, the same room day after day after day, like can't do it. So this was like the thing that I wanted. And it's so crazy that it actually, the podcast format is what opened up this portal, this window for me to actually get to like take this juicy, juicy journey with this woman, especially Black woman. You know, we don't get those juicy roles that come across our inbox every day. We get, this is how we see Black. So to get a fully realized, fully fleshed out character in a fully fleshed out world and to really get to go on a full journey, my God, was just the most refreshing breath of air that I've experienced in a while.
Yeah. I love that because, okay, so this is your first superhero work, right? And your first scripted audio only work that you've done. How has this experience differed from, say, theater or TV? Because you've done various types of theater and TV. Like, I want to be clear. It's not like you've just done one genre. You have really had a variety. And so, like, how was this different?
Well, I actually would say it's more similar to theater and live performance than I ever thought it was going to be. The reason that I was so interested in this genre coming out of school was because I'm a physical actor. I love to use my body. I want to have movement. I want to be in a space. And when you're doing something like this, you have to use your whole body. So it felt more comparable to me to theater or live stage performance than anything. Because it was like running around, fighting, punching, like all of the thing. And I had my little box. So I was just in this like small little room, but I was making it work and doing it. So it's more physical than you think it would be.
Now all I'm imagining is you getting up in the morning, getting ready, eating your good food and being like, I'm going to put my mic on and I'm going to run around. It's going to be great.
And I don't have to leave my house. In fact, I can do it in my closet and get paid.
The dream. One of the really cool things that I love too is like, you're not the only one doing this in your closet, right? Or living room or hallway. You are part of this amazing cast and crew. You had actor director Timothy Busfield and Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
As you just kind of mentioned, the production was done remotely. What does this process look like? Like, what does a day in recording look like? Because you're not in the same studio, you're not in the same space. What does this particular process look like?
A lot of mic testing and technical troubleshooting. No, but so, okay, I wish I could show you because I still have all of the holes in my wall where I nailed in like all of the blankets to make my own little booth. And this is like a brand new house that I just moved into. And I'm like, you know what? It's Marvel. It's worth it. Not, not, not. I still have them. They're there. Can't take them away from
me. Memories.
So we're all in our own little like makeshift studios. Like some people are in a recording studio, but most of us are in our little makeshift studios. And we're all meeting each other for the first time. It's summer, so the energy is ripe. And it was just any environment that Tim Busfield is creating is a like creative playground. It's just a party where you feel like you can play and you feel like you can have fun. So it was just that. It felt good. It felt like creating theater in the living room with creatives, but we were all just in our own separate spaces, meeting in this little digital world. It was magic, pure magic.
I love that because working in mediums that are not necessarily visual, right? Especially working in audio mediums and during a pandemic, you're all in different places. But connection is still like so important for productions like this. Were there any unique practices or methods that you personally or the cast as a whole used to kind of feel more connected during the process?
Well, I think one of the things that Tim did brilliantly was he shot us out of a cannon every day. So we immediately got out of our heads and into our bodies and we just did it. Like he knew, he hired actors who all they needed to do was show up and let the writing, which was so brilliant, channel through them. Like Alex did her job, so we didn't have to. But I also think like I got it a little easy because my character just happens to be the new person in this world that no one has ever seen before, no one's ever met before. So I had to come in with my own personal backstory, but I didn't have to come in with any relationships already cultivated. Like my first scene with everybody is literally me meeting them for the first time. So all I had to do was let those organic relationships flow naturally because I had never met any of these people for the first time. So we were just finding our organic chemistry in the moment. I was literally just thinking before we jumped in of like, I did kind of get like the easiest part because they all had to like cultivate this history of like, we've been working at this company and we know each other for all this time. But I'm just like, hi, I'm new. What's up? And then I get taken on an adventure by the seat of my pants.
All right, so let's get to it because you're kind of teasing it now.
Oof.
You play a new character in the Marvel Universe, Lisa Cartwright. We don't want to spoil everything. If you have not listened to the show, you need to go listen to the show. But we will try our best not to spoil all of it right now. Can you tell us a little bit about Lisa? How does she fit into the Marvel Universe?
If I could describe Lisa, I would describe her as a piñata.
Now, is this a birthday pinata? Is this a wedding pinata? Like,
homegirl is full of surprises. Like, you don't
know. She's a wedding pinata. Cool, cool.
You don't know who this woman is. At every turn, you're like, you think you know her, but do you really know her? She plays her cards so close to her chest in such a beautiful way. And this is how she was written by Alex. So I think that that's one of the funnest things about her and her character, because you really never know where it's gonna turn. And you never know if you have all of the information that she has. And there are these little bits and little conversations that you're like, wait a minute, but I thought. And it's like, she's not quite who she says she is. So if I can say anything, I will say that this whole series is literally just the tip of the iceberg. And there's so much more beneath it that is there to be uncovered. And I can't wait to see it.
Okay, so you sound like you had the most fun bringing this character to life. Being able to create a new character, right? Being able to create new canon, because now it's new canon. Now, suddenly, this person that you embodied and helped create and bring to life is part of the Marvel Universe. One, how much fun was that? And two, do you have a favorite aspect of Lisa?
The fun level was off the charts. And this is why. If we were to do the film version of this podcast, right? I don't think people realize how stop and starty film and TV can be. It's not, you don't get that visceral feeling of like flowing through a moment, flowing through an exchange. It's literally, okay, stop. Okay, start. Okay, move your arm 3 inches to the left.
And it's multiple cameras, right? And multiple shots. One scene could take, what, a week?
Mm-hmm. And it's so technical and it's so choppy. And it's, you really have to do the work to make it flow all together. In this setting, you just go. We just rip through the scenes and we get to do it multiple times. So we have so many different takes. So it's more fun because you're not just creating the image of the visceral journey for the audience. You get to physically take your body through the experience, through the visceral journey. You get to have the awakenings as we're having the awakenings. I mean, literally, I got all 10 episodes 2 days before we started shooting. So that's a short amount of time to dig into a 10 episode series. So we were like, a lot of this was being revealed to us on the fly of like, oh my God. And then this happens. Like, there wasn't even too much acting involved when you set it up like that. But that's why it's so fun, because you just get to fly. It reads like a play. It records like a play, but it's action. And it's Marvel, which makes it even better.
And without giving away too many spoilers, the story is a lot about surveillance, which provides a really interesting point of view and has got to give such a unique textured listening experience, right? Can you walk me through, like, what does it mean to be listening in, knowing that people are listening in? Like, does that make sense? Like, it's really meta. If you think about it, do you feel like there were any challenges in bringing together those layers?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could take credit for that, but man, that is all sound. Like, that's them doing this beautiful work to create this environment where you act like, I actually felt like I was in the Onar. Like, I felt these stark white hallways with tall ceilings. You feel how the sound changes when you go into a room, how the sound changes when you're listening in, when you come back out, when you go back in. I think that sound is one of like the most magical things about podcasting, about film and TV, and it just makes it come alive. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just all sound, man.
You mentioned the Onar. For those who may not be familiar, and I don't think anyone is, what is that?
So we're kind of living in like a post-apocalyptic, climate change is happening world where the outside world is not only becoming more and more uninhabitable to the day, but it's also more and more dangerous. And so what's happening is these like completely indoor worlds and communities are being built and developed. So the Onar is one of them. It's a high surveillance, like high security. This is probably like a building that's like, okay, you have to be able to afford this building to get this kind of security when the earth starts getting so hot that the outside becomes uninhabitable anymore. So that's where we find
ourselves. Not like real life at all.
Not like real life at all.
So there's some classist stuff that's happening here. You're living in this high security building.
It's the only place I can get a job. I'm a writer, I'm a creative, but at this point in time, it's like, okay, well, I guess I get this job now. So she's working security.
So climate change is happening. You're in this high security building. You're working the security. It's your first day working in the Onar. What is the environment like?
The environment is, it's any normal first day. It's like really trying to get your bearings. Like, who am I working with? What is this place that I'm in? Trying to put all the pieces together and figure out what exactly she's gotten herself into, I think. And if it's gonna be worth the money. And surely enough, the very first day she listens in to this woman's apartment, and all of a sudden she's taken on a journey. So it gets started pretty quickly. It's like you're here and all of a sudden you're in it. And I don't think she realized the first time that she was listening in that that was actually the point of no return, that okay, now you're involved in this story and you're an integral part of it. I don't think she realized it until maybe even a few days later, where she was like, oh, I'm in the thick of it. Like, I dove into the deep end.
So what you're saying is this building with a lot of people who are all looking for high-tech security, someone isn't what they seem?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I got to take a step back for folks who are listening to this and are like, all right, so the podcast is called Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow. How do we involve Black Widow in all of this? Like, how do these relationships start unfolding?
Well, I mean, that's the thing you're gonna have to listen to and find out, because that's the thing. It's all up in the air. Like, everyone right now is like, wait a minute, Black Widow, like, is that still happening? Is she even alive? Like, no one knows. Like, everyone's trying to figure out the answers to the questions. And like, this is where it picks up, where you start to figure out what's happened to all of these people. Have they disappeared? Have they not disappeared? Who knows?
There is one person I gotta know. So you're listening in on a particular character's phone call. What do you eventually figure out about this call?
I eventually figure out that I probably took a job that I shouldn't have taken to begin with. It's like, you think cool and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to sit here listening to a lot of boring conversations, a lot of people talking to their cats and telling them they're the cutest thing in the world, right? And then all of a sudden, day one, I'm listening in on, like, let's just say, I think Lisa Cartwright figured out really quickly that, like, oh God, working in security means when stuff goes down, you actually have to do something about it. And then there's no turning back once you make a report of like, hey, something's fishy happening in my space. But I'm sure she was probably wishing, man, I wish I had just gotten the girl that was telling her cat that she was the cutest cat in the whole wide world.
First of all, my dog is the cutest dog, and I do, in fact, tell him every single day. Some people do, and I'm unfortunately for Lisa, that's not what she got.
That's not what she got.
So the relationships start to evolve. You know, can Lisa trust anybody?
I think that, no, she cannot trust anybody. But I think if there's anyone that she trusts the most, it probably actually is Helen. Because one of the things that she found listening in on Helen in her phone call, and that's the reason that she started to go deeper on her case, is that Helen is a pretty honest and direct person. It's just that most people don't believe what she's saying because most people don't believe her experiences that she's had. So it makes her pretty trustworthy. And I think that Lisa sees herself in that. And I think that there's a lot in Helen that there's a lot of aspects of Helen that Lisa recognizes in herself. And that's why she's attracted to wanting to learn more at any cost, which, as we soon start to discover, like, who is Lisa working for? Is she working for Helen? Is she working for the Onar? Is she working for herself? And why was that even never a consideration? Do we know Lisa as well as we think we know Lisa? Did she come to the Onar for the reason she said she came to the Onar?
All right, so everybody needs to go listen to this podcast ASAP. I can't imagine how excited you are for folks to listen to Wastelander's Black Widow and get to know your character a little more. Because as much as you've told us, I think we have more questions now that we know her. So you talked about being a huge Marvel fan. Do you have any favorite Marvel characters? Like,
yeah.
How did you get into Marvel? Everybody comes in at their own unique space. So, like, what was yours?
I probably came in through the Spider-Man world. And I mean, like, those are the ones that, like, seen them all, love it, following it, want to see every single rendition that you come out with. I can never get enough. And that's what it is about these. Like, we can never get enough. We want every reboot and every revamp because it just keeps getting better and better. But then, of course, now that I'm here in the Marvel world, Black Panther.
She's like, this was an easy question. Give me something hard.
Hands down.
Yo, thank you so much for joining. Like, is there anything else you want folks to know about the show? Is anything else you were excited for folks to hear as they listen to this amazing podcast? Like, give it to us.
It's just a super amazing cast. Everyone is bringing something really juicy to it. So it's just such a fun and a wild ride. It goes by fast. So fasten your seatbelt, like, be ready to be taken on an adventure. This is the kind of art that keeps us alive and keeps us engaged during these times when we're in a pandemic and we're all still inside in our third year of living with COVID, like, this is the art that gets us by. And this is why I'm so grateful for everything that goes into making art like this, because it's no small feat, but it is needed, not just for the creatives and the people who are working on it, but for everyone who is hanging on through this medium that we all love called storytelling.
That actually brings up something you kind of talked about earlier, which is this idea that Lisa is a woman of color and she is very complex and is presenting like this new image that isn't always kind of seen in media. You clearly have always wanted to be a performer. You grew up in the Midwest. You go out to New York. Like, what would you tell your young self, you know, knowing what you know now as a performer and as an actress and being a woman of color?
This is especially for women of color. Trust yourself. You know who you are through and through. Don't ever let anyone tell you different. If they do, don't believe them. Trust yourself.
I love it. I feel like Lisa Cartwright needs to hear that too.
She does. She does need to hear that.
Every day. It needs to be like plastered on her wall.
Where's Lisa Cartwright's coach? We need to get her little life coach in there. Lisa, do not go to the Onar today. Lisa, abort. Abort mission.
Stay home. Nope. Not that call, Lisa. Not that call.
But you know what? But then she could have never learned her good moves. Now she's got moves. Now she can do her little flippy flips.
Were you actually like fighting in your apartment?
I'd like to think that I was. Yes. Of course. But of course. I landed every punch.
Of course I was doing all my own stunts. So before we go, you are a very busy woman. You have been doing lots of dope stuff. You know, are there any other projects, any other cool things that you've got coming up that we can shout out before we let you go about your very busy life?
Yes, you guys, I am a true multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate. It is possible. Don't let people tell you you can only do one thing. So yeah, I'm about to head to New York to do a little Broadway show, which is going to be a good time.
I'm sorry, did you say a little Broadway show? Did you put the word little in front of Broadway?
Well, you know.
What is this little Broadway show?
It's Mr. Saturday Night coming to Broadway with Billy Crystal and David Paymer. It's a small cast of eight and it's a musical comedy. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. It's really funny and really charming.
That sounds amazing. And I'm sure it's going to be incredible.
I'm super stoked.
Thank you so, so much for being on the show. I'm so excited. You're now also a part of the Marvel's Voices family.
Super thrilled.
And I can't wait for everyone to learn more about Lisa Cartwright. All of you out there, go listen to Marvel's Wastelanders, Black Widow, right now. The series finale is out next week on SiriusXM and Marvel Podcasts Unlimited on Apple Podcasts. And 8 out of the 10 episodes are out wherever you get your podcast. Next week on the show, I am talking to an absolute legend in the comics world, writer and artist Larry Hama. Except he doesn't like to call himself an artist. He's a person who draws, in addition to being an actor on Broadway and playing in a rock band. Y'all, this man really does it all. Next week is a real treat. Marvel's Voices is produced by Isabel Robertson and me, Angelique Rocher. Our creative producer is Harry Goh. Our senior manager of audio production and development is Brad Barton. Our production manager is Larissa Rosen. And our executive producer is Joe Duboff. Our theme music was composed and performed by Kamau Wainaina.